Tea and Chat, Episode 13, for Monday, July 28th, 2008. Hello everybody and welcome to Tea and Chat episode 13. On today's show I have lots of people to talk to. I have Ronnie Blackwell, who is the author of Serve It Cold. I have his wife Lynn Harper. I also have Paul Fisher and Martha Holloway of the ADD cast and the Balticon podcast. They're also the people who actually produced the audiobook version of Serve It Cold. So I'll be talking to loads of people later on in the show. I also have a tea to try out, a very interesting tea, a kind of a sort of chocolate tea with spices in it, which is sounds very interesting. Also, at the end of the show, I will be talking a little bit about Batman. Oh, Batman. Brilliant. But we can get to that at the end. First things first, some news. For those of you who are interested in Tea and Chat on iTunes, we are finally available on iTunes. I know I really should have gotten around to it a lot sooner, but we are now on iTunes, so I should have a subscribe via iTunes button or something up on the website as soon as I can figure out how to actually do that. But if you go into iTunes and search for Tea and Chat, you'll now be able to find us. The forums are coming along nicely. Hello to everyone who's joined the forums. And thank you to Felina for sending me that lovely envelope of teas. Felina did an absolutely amazing thing. She went to a tea shop in Austria, apparently a very famous tea shop in Austria, the Teehandlung Schönbichler. And she sent me an envelope with five or six different teas. I believe me, I was speechless. Now, any of you who know me outside of podcasting are well aware that speechless and me are not two things you usually find together, but I was genuinely speechless and amazed. That's incredibly generous of you, Felina, and I look forward to trying out all the teas on the show so that I can try each one out and we can sort of compare notes on the forums as to what you think of the tea and what I think of the tea. So that should be good fun. So thank you very much for that. The tea I have today is another Yogi tea, and it's called Choco Aztec Spice. It looks like it's going to be very interesting. It's a kind of a... Yeah, it basically looks like it's a combination of cocoa, cinnamon, licorice, barley malt, ginger, cloves, cardamom, vanilla extract, black pepper, ginger oil and vanilla beans. And the tea bags, they smell lovely. It's a kind of a chocolatey smell, but it's also a really nice, warm, spicy smell there as well. So I'm really looking forward to this. So I'm going to pop the kettle on now. I'll play a quick promo and I'll come back with a cup of Choco Aztec Spice tea and we can see if it tastes as good as it smells. Back in a minute.
Johnny C., you son of a bitch! You stole my pot!
I didn't steal her pot. But when trouble comes calling, it's usually not too concerned with those little details.
This case of mistaken identity takes Johnny C. on a journey from Mississippi all the way to the Big Easy and back. Join Johnny as he follows a trail of drugs, kidnapping, infidelity, and murder. Serve It Cold is available as a free serialized audiobook at audiobooks.com and dancingcatstudios.com. Sex, drugs, and the cradle of rock and roll.
Okay, and we're back. Oh boy, does this smell tasty. I have added a reasonably small amount of milk, not too much milk, but it looks like a cup of hot chocolate. It's not the dark brown of a hot chocolate. It's the kind of the very light brown. So it's quite a sort of a light milky brown color, but it smells lovely. I really wish there was a way I could, you know, invent the smelly podcast where you could actually smell this, because it is fantastic. It's chocolatey and spicy and warm. So I'm going to try some now, because I'm dying to dig into this one. Ooh, oh boy, yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, this is really good. It's like a spicy hot chocolate. It's lovely. It's marvelous. I don't know if any of you ever tried the sort of, you know, the kind of hot chocolates that you make with hot water rather than with hot milk. So the kind of instant hot chocolate drinks. The chocolatey part tastes a little bit like that. I don't think it's creamy enough to be the kind of milky hot chocolate. Even with the dash of milk I've added, it's not quite creamy enough. But the spicy side is marvelous. It's lovely. It's absolutely gorgeous. Oh, yeah. This is the exact opposite of Turkish apple flavor instant tea, where that was absolutely disgusting. This is, oh, it's divine. It's marvelous. Oh, yeah. This is great. I will stick a link to this in the show notes. I don't know what brands you can get wherever you are. This particular thing is made in Amsterdam, this particular brand. But I really recommend trying to find something similar, because this is lovely. This is a really, really nice tea. It's really something. I've devoured half a cup already. That's how good it is. I better save some for the interview. Another thing, I don't know if any of you have heard of Target Women. I've been watching this over the last few weeks. It's a segment in the Infomania show, which you might have come across on the internet. And it's basically that the idea is it's a kind of a funny look at advertising and marketing to women. And the funny things that go on. They have 4 or 5 episodes now. The comedian who does this, Sarah Haskins, she is marvelous. I think if I was a single guy, I would be on a plane and I would be flying over to ask this woman out, because she is just brilliant. They've done some very, very funny episodes. There's one about feeding your family, and some of the ads geared at women for feeding your family, and how, you know, if you feed your family, you're a good woman, and if you don't feed your family, well, whew. They have another one for Botox, which is hilariously funny to watch. Sarah does an amazing job on these. They are brilliant. I'll be sticking them up in the movies. Yeah, I'll stick them up in the movies section of the forums. I'll stick some links in there. They really are worth checking out. So if you want to do a quick Google, it's Target Women. And I think it's on current.tv or current.com, one of those, is where I keep coming across them. But it really is worth checking out. I've been enjoying them very much, so I thought I'd share those with you. I've also heard that for those Dr. Horrible fans amongst you, I've got my Dr. Horrible t-shirts in the post, and they're brilliant. But I've also heard that the soundtrack will be available in a few weeks. So that'll be pretty cool for those of you who are enjoying singing along with it. So we can look forward to that. But I think now it's time to go over to Skype, where I will have probably the biggest and most disorganized chat ever. The most people on Tea and Chat so far at a single time. So I'm just going to switch over to Skype now and make sure that everybody's here. Is everybody present and accounted for?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yep.
This is a Tea and Chat first. I think I've never had as many people on at one time.
Yay!
Another first in podcast.
He is not here.
Exactly.
Yes. An interview that does pain T. Morris.
Exactly. An interview without a podcasting first without T. Morris.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He'll be so jealous.
Oh, he will.
We'll pay.
Well, I suppose I should welcome you all onto the show. Firstly, I'd say hello to Ron Blackwell and Lynn Harper. Hello.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
And hello to Paul Fisher and Martha Holloway.
Hello.
Hi, Stephen.
Welcome you all onto the show. This is a huge tea and chat. I hope you all have cups of tea at the ready.
Absolutely.
We do indeed.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Anyone got anything particularly tasty?
Well, I'm drinking Rubius pomegranate because I've had plenty of caffeine already today.
Ooh.
I have a lovely black tea from a little shop in Maine, and it's blueberry tea.
Ooh. Nice.
I'm drinking very common Tazo black tea with milk and sugar.
Always good.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking my my strange mixture of ginger, lemongrass, lots of other different teas as an iced tea, spiked with limoncello.
Ooh, limoncello. Nice.
Has the sun gone over the yard arm over in Mississippi?
Oh, you bet. About 2 hours ago.
Okay.
What is it with Americans and iced tea? I think almost everybody I've interviewed from that side of the pond has had this thing for iced tea. Hutch, T. Morris is exactly the same. What's the story with it? I mean, is it just ridiculously popular or...
It's 100 degrees here.
Yes, it has to do with the weather. It's not like Ireland.
No, it's 100 degrees during the day and it's 100 degrees at night.
Ah.
Well, not quite, but it's close, close enough. So, yes, iced tea is a southern tradition.
Ah.
Iced tea is a southern American tradition.
I see. So if it was raining there all the time, like it's raining right now, it's raining as we speak. If it was raining there all the time, maybe you'd have hot teas instead. And if it was cold and wet and miserable.
Yes, if it were cold and miserable, we would drink warm tea. Yeah. Don't know about hot.
Oh, good Lord. Well, I'm glad because... It's rare enough that I can get several guests on, let alone several cups of tea going on at the same time. I'm trying this weird, it's sort of a cocoa and Aztec spice tea. It's very strange. It's
Ooh.
Like it's like drinking spicy hot chocolate. It's very weird, but it's quite tasty.
Ooh, yeah, like a Mexican hot chocolate.
Yeah, it's really tasty. It's really nice.
Very traditional drink for chocolate.
Mm.
I think it only when it came to Europe did it actually have milk added to it.
Ah.
Yeah. That's very cool. Awesome.
It's really tasty, actually. I'm gonna recommend it to everybody. It's very, very tasty indeed. So, shall we get the ball rolling then? I don't know what to do first. I've got so many people, I don't know who to pick.
Start with Ronnie. He's got news.
Start with the guests of honor. You're all guests of honor on my show. Okay, then, Ronnie, shall we start with you? What is your news?
Well, I've got lots of news, but I guess at the top of the list is my second book, Spike, is just rolling out right now.
Yay!
And, it's available at lulu.com. It's also available as a Kindle book on amazon.com. And it will, as I say, it's rolling out. It will reach a broader distribution soon, I hope. But the big news is also Dancing Cats, and Cervic Cole has been nominated for Parsec Awards.
Indeed it has. Woo! And,
yes.
And I'm really excited about that, which and I hope this really firms up Dancing Cat's commitment to produce Spike.
Yes, indeed.
Firm up! Firm up! What are you talking about? Firm up!
I don't know. What? That surprised me.
I thought we committed to this like 3 years ago.
Or three millennia.
Didn't want any backsliding going on there, guys.
Okay.
If it were any firmer, it would be made of diamond.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, we will start recording Spite, hopefully before the summer ends, and get that published as soon as possible.
Fantastic.
As a patio.
Fantastic. I have very, very fond memories of Serve It Cold. It's been a little while since I last listened to it, but I'm jonesing for the next one myself.
Good.
All right.
I hope you'll enjoy it.
Me too. I'm sure I will, though. I mean, if it's anything like the first one, I'm gonna lap that bad boy up.
No, not nothing like it. No, no. The humor's all gone. It's very dreary.
Oh no!
Completely different locale.
Yeah, Hawaii, isn't it? Is there a big chunk of Hawaii? Yeah.
Hawaii does make an appearance.
Woo!
A large chunk of the book does take place in Hawaii.
Yep.
But the soul of the book is still South Mississippi.
Excellent, excellent.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
It's one of the things, actually, that I really liked about the first book was the sort of the landscape, the descriptions of the landscape, you could see some of it in your head, and I still want to go and visit some of the locations.
Thank you. Come in winter.
Okay.
It'll be a lot easier on you.
You might even find hot tea, but you know, if you come in the summer, get used to the cold stuff.
I'm Irish. If I come over in the summer, I'll pass out.
Oh, that's right. That's what I would be afraid of. I spent all day yesterday counting butterflies in the Delta National Forest with a temperature about 100 degrees, humidity about 98%, and had a great time. But it's not something you want to do steadily.
Indeed.
You survived, Ronnie. We're so proud of you.
Me too.
Were you covered in butterflies as you thought you would be?
We weren't covered as we usually were. The butterfly, it's dry. It has been dry in the forest, and it wasn't thousands and thousands of butterflies, just hundreds. But it was fine for me because there were more birds than ever before. We just had hundreds of birds calling all the time. It's
sweet.
Beautiful.
Wow. Yes, I gather from the first novel that you're slightly fond of birds.
Just a little bit. I write two columns on birding for newspapers in South Mississippi. And it's a children's book. I don't know what to call it. It will be an illustrated book about a crow and my father. But it was one of my father's best friends in his later years.
Cool. Cool.
And that's coming out before Christmas.
Yes, before Christmas.
With original artwork from Georgia Godwin, who did one of the special edition covers for Service.
Ah, yes. Sweet. So it's the perfect Christmas present then.
That's what we hope. I think
you got it.
Yeah,
there actually is a strategy there.
So if I may switch over to Paul and Martha for a sec. You guys are all over the podosphere. I mean, you're everywhere. you know, any website I visit will either have your names or a link to the ADD cast or the Balticon podcast. How did you actually get involved in podcasting in the first place?
I do a lot of traveling for work, and I was down in Texas, and I met someone who was a very early adopter of podcasts. And at that time, we were driving 250 miles between radio sites to do work.
Wow.
And he started playing Dawn and Drew and several other podcasts. And I've despised what's happened to radio for years. And I thought that this was just the best thing ever. So I started listening, and then I started thinking, there's got to be something I can do to give back to this community. And I started looking around at myself and at the things that I do. And at that time, it was kind of a zero-sum game. You didn't want to do what somebody else was already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought I would start by focusing on myself and talking about ADD, and very quickly realized I didn't know all that much about it. And wasn't interested in, you know, doing medical stuff. So I just kind of made it a fun thing that I could morph into whatever I wanted to.
ADD theater.
And that's it. It became ADD theater. Because it can be very interesting to listen to somebody with ADD. And and I had been volunteering time at Balticon, and I had been running the computer game room, and I had stopped playing computer games. So I was looking for another way to contribute time to the convention. And I thought, well, why not interview some authors and, you know, see if I can do a podcast out of that. And 72 episodes later, we're still going strong. We're in our third year.
Sweet.
And I got into it because, well, I was doing my laundry when Paul did his first episode for the ADD cast. So if you listen to that first episode, you can hear the birds tweeting in the background because the window was open. And you hear this zzzz, and Paul goes, oh, that's the dryer. And then he pauses, and he carries on with his thought. But it's like he gets up and does the laundry and then comes back. But it's my clothes.
Ah.
So I got into podcasting because it was something I could do, spend time with my husband, really enjoy the expertise that I've learned for sound editing and putting things together. I really am enjoying this a lot. So I'm as committed as Paul.
Firm commitment.
Yes, any firmer and it would be diamond.
Quote attributed to
Mr. Paul Fisher.
Well, I, for one, I'm a huge fan of the ADD cast. I've probably only been listening for about, I don't know, maybe, yeah, I don't know, 6 months thereabouts. So I'm still kind of new to the ADD cast, but I absolutely love it as a show, and I think you guys have a great a little niche. All to your own, because I listen to lots of other shows, but nothing quite like the ADD cast.
we're an original.
Well, we haven't decided what our genre is because we're so ADD. We just kind of, you know, whatever interests us. So we're glad that it interests you too, Stephen.
And of course, the Balticon podcast. The only thing better than actually going to Balticon is listening to the Balticon podcast.
Well, thank you for saying so.
Yes, I've been wanting to go for 2 years now, and next year I think is going to be the year.
Oh, wonderful.
Awesome.
We're going to look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, I've decided, well, it was Pip Ballantyne that pointed out that she lives further away, so what's my excuse?
Well, she hasn't made it to Balticon yet.
No, I'm hoping she'll go next year as well, and then a whole pile of foreigners will be invading Baltimore.
Oh, that would be awesome. Wonderful. That would be
really. We will
really
take cool. Such good care of you guys.
Woo!
We'll take you out for crabs and beer, and you'll have a fantastic time.
Yes, I think I have to go because It's Skype is good and email is good. And of course, I've just started with my Twitter addiction. And that's good, too. But there's nothing like meeting some of these people in person, you know, that kind of way, and just sort of chilling out over a beer.
There really isn't. And we're really proud of the way that Balticon has become such a podcaster con. And we really appreciate having a place to, having the hosting that Balticon provides for us, and all the work that BSFS, the Baltimore Science Fiction Society, puts into putting on Balticon so that we can have our little corner of it with podcasters, as well as other new media people. So we have other new media groups like web comics and so forth. Very, very, very surprised at how it's going. Very, very pleased, though.
And the Balticon podcast is up for a Parsec as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Under the fan cast and the podcast about writing.
Sweet.
So,
good.
Yeah, unfortunately, this year's batch of author interviews kind of missed the time frame, the really good ones. So,
they either came after or before the time frame for the Parsecs. But Paul was able to pick out three good selections, I think, and we're gonna got our fingers crossed. It's hard to type that way, but we do.
Yep.
Yes, well, obviously, you know, good luck because Parsec is a serious achievement.
Well, we between everything that we've done, we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 shows out the door.
Wow!
And that, you know, I would love for something that we did to be recognized, by a Parsec or some other award. But I really love the medium. I love giving back to the community and just being part of the community. And this to me is just, it's doing what I love and making other things. And if people find it interesting, that's like the cherry on top of the sundae.
If I can switch over to Ron again for a second.
Yes.
I'm always curious with authors and how they get into podcasting in the first place and how they end up finding their work being put out in audio format. How did you actually come across podcasting, or did you know some people already, or? What have I done?
I've known Martha for too many years for either of us to count. As soon as Paul got the podcasting bug, he forced it on me. He didn't infect me. He forced it. So I've been listening to podcasts for almost day one. And then Paul and Martha called me up and announced that they were going to podcast. They were going to dramatize and podcast Serve It Goal. I wasn't given much of a choice.
And it's been dreadful, I tell you, ever since. It's ruined your life, I know.
But they had already been very, very big fans of the book and of my writing. So it was just the next logical thing.
Cool. Yes, I think on Amazon.com, there's only one review for Serve It Cold, the paperback, by a Mr. P. Fisher.
I don't know him. More reviews, folks, when you hear this, please log on to Amazon if you've read the book. Please give us some reviews on Amazon. That'd be great. Give Ronnie, I should say. We had nothing to do with it, but still.
I think all of us have spit some blood on that book. So
yeah, it's Serve It Cold by Martha Holloway, Paul Fisher. Oh, and Ron Blackwell as well.
No. Ronnie sweat nah. the most. Sweat the most.
Oh yeah.
Well, and Lynn is the editor. That's
that's right.
The editor of Last Resort. So.
Yes, you need somebody to make sure that what you're writing down on paper isn't total gibberish.
Exactly.
And how do you do that, Lynn?
Yes, well, I'm not sure I always do, but it's a great learning experience for me. I've been editing work all my life, but really never edited fiction of any sort. So it's not that anyone called fiction, at least. So. So it is
some of those grants that you've written, eh?
Oh, honey, you know it. and certainly some I've read, but anyway, so it's a great learning experience for me as well, and I often question Ron, much to his dismay, about what do you mean by this, or people don't really talk like that, or you know, whatever. So it's interesting dialogue around our dinner table sometimes.
Do you let him get away with semicolons and dialogue? Or
oh, man. Yeah, they're semicolons. I can't tolerate the, 3-minute run-on sentences.
Oh, dear, yes.
Thank you, Lynn, for editing those. He's a better man for it.
Yeah, well, I think your actors are easier, are less tried by it anyway.
We have some bloopers on some of those sentences, but my favorite still has to be the is, was, has been, what? Made perfect sense, except it needed a dash between has and been. Is what. But it floored Eric for a full 2.5 minutes. It's like, what? That doesn't make sense. That's not an English sentence.
That's great.
Oh, beautiful.
I hope you saved some of the I hope you saved some of the pronunciations too, Martha, because those were just priceless. Some of them were.
Oh, we have the pronunciation guide that Ron gave us, which is probably, we should have listened to it more often. And we have the pronunciation. We have the stumbling pronunciations that we did, and of course our dear friend Mike Wynn, who seemed incapable of saying the word fennel properly, kept saying
15 minutes
of fennel.
Right.
Oh, here we go.
Tunnel, funnel, fennel. Okay, tunnel, funnel, fennel. Got it. Fennel. Okay. Let's come back to that part.
That's great.
Mike was great, though. He did a great job reading, except for fennel. When I met Mike at Balticon, he came up to me and asked me probably 5 questions in a row about the book that I couldn't answer. Obviously, you knew the book better than I did.
Right.
Yeah.
Real commitment there.
Firm commitment.
Right.
You got it. Like
There's
diamonds.
Lots of diamonds. There's lots of diamonds in this conversation.
Oh, dear. So you're looking forward to producing Spite, then?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's going to be a lot of fun.
We've New pronunciation challenges stand before us.
Well, you know, I expect that the Hawaiian pronunciations are just going to be entertaining. I don't expect anyone who actually speaks Hawaiian to recognize our pronunciations.
I don't know, Martha. I recall a plane trip with you coaching us on Hawaiian pronunciations. That seemed to do pretty well.
Well, the first time I went to Hawaii and we stayed on Maui, I kept reading about Haleakala. I couldn't figure out what is Haleakala, but we were actually staying in a bed and breakfast on Haleakala. 3 days into the trip, I figured out the pronunciation of the word. We're going to have an interesting time.
I can imagine. I keep hearing, is there a small jungle in someone's living room?
Yes, it is. That's our parrot. He's a 1 ounce, 4 inch high terror called Kito.
Kito.
He's a Pacific parrotlet, the smallest true parrots. And he is one room away from us.
Wow.
Exactly.
He doesn't like people laughing without him.
Ah. He's coming through so loud and clear, I could use him for sound effects.
Do I need to close the door?
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's a podcasting first. First Keto on Cheat and Chat. Hello. Take that, Timurus.
Yes, we have real parrots.
They sound like little tiny birds, because they are, but they're veal parrots. He's beautiful, too.
Yeah?
He's a beautiful little bird. Yeah. Bright green. He's got blue on his primaries, is that?
Yeah, he's got blue on his primaries and on his butt and blue racing stripes behind his eyes.
Sweet.
And he just came in here.
Quietly.
Yeah, now he's going to be quiet.
He knows we're talking about him now.
Oh.
We'll hear from him, I'm sure.
He just laughed.
Oh, Stephen, he likes your laugh. Can you hear it?
Ronnie listens to bird calls so that he can recognize them when he's in the field. And Keto was listening to bird calls, too. Ronnie, you want to finish the story?
then I realized that the bird calls were in stereo all at once, and he was doing the bird calls exactly with the recording.
Sweet.
Sitting on your shoulders.
So, he was sitting on my shoulders, singing into an ear. So then I had this great idea that I would train him to do the bird calls, and we'd take him into the woods and let him call up the birds.
Yeah, this was a great idea. He didn't run by me.
But then I found out that he could do every bird call on the album, but he wouldn't do them when I wanted him to do the right bird call. You know, he just is a parrot and has a mind of his own. He just, what he wants to do is what he does. Very stubborn little critter.
What a charming little fellow, too.
He's about the size of a thumb, I guess. Yeah, he's a little taller than a thumb. But very small. Very small, very bossy.
Feisty.
He's the smallest. He's the smallest animal in the house. There are a few other animals besides him.
They're all locked away.
Or you wouldn't be able to have this conversation.
Right.
It's like Dr. Doolittle over there, is it?
Sometimes it seems that way. to Lynn. I'm not allowed any snakes, so there's the downside there.
Oh, why not?
I think the stories from my childhood in snakes have sort of turned her off of the idea.
Ah.
Losing the poison snakes in your parents' house is always a bad start.
But it's a great story.
What kind of snake was it, Ronnie?
It was a very small, melanistic cottonmouth moccasin.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And we, everywhere my parents went for 3 days, my brothers and I went first. We could tell them that the snake, but the snake crawled into somebody's pile of dirty clothes and got washed. And my mother pulled it out of the washing machine.
Oh.
Oh my God.
The end of snakes inside the house.
There you go. It lends a whole different cast to laundry, doesn't it?
Well, it's a water moccasin. It didn't like that much water.
That's true.
It probably just got a little over-agitated.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-dum. So, from snakes onto dancing cats. Now, did you see that? Great segue.
That was very good.
I learned from the best. Thank you.
I can hear the bird laughing.
Let me take him away. Yes, you're making a scene.
I'm going to miss it now.
At Aww. Least we're funny.
Well, yes, there you go.
You are.
Parrots think we're hilarious. So, Dancing Cat Studios, then. If you've got, obviously you're going to be producing Spite, but is there anything else in the works from you guys?
We have a small side project that we've been working on for a while.
We were expecting delivery of the final product in early October.
Yes.
In fact, we've been preparing a room for this particular project this past weekend. It's bright yellow now.
With geometric shapes on the walls.
It is indeed. Yeah. Yes, it is. So that's kind of been absorbing our time, that particular project.
I can imagine. And will that be released as a podcast?
It's not as entertaining as the parrot.
Yeah.
We'll see
what we can do.
I've been toying around with trying to automate a 1 minute video podcast called The Feral Father's Guide to Child Rearing or something like that. Martha found this thing a couple of years back on the web called The Feral Cat's Diary, and I was going to kind of take a riff on that. You know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and she won't shut up.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
It might not be that funny come October 15th.
Great funny to those of us who aren't there. Yeah.
Screaming kids are great when they're somebody else's.
That's right. Absolutely. Shake up and hand them back. That's right. Right. But, you know, I have heard that if we move south, you guys are going to help us raise this baby.
That's right.
We'll have to bring the bright yellow room with the geometric shapes with us.
That'd be fun. I got paint. We'll paint our blue bedroom yellow.
I don't think the ghost would like that.
Well, there is that.
I was
that.
Wondering about that myself, Martha.
That bedroom might get crowded real fast.
I've clearly missed an in-joke. Yeah, there's a ghost?
Yeah.
We live in a... a Victorian cottage that was built in 1900, and we have a ghost. People who we have also had people sort of living in our blue bedroom, we call it, because it's very blue over the years, and people who stay there often see the ghost of the house. And
they often don't stay long.
But, you know, but she's a very benevolent spirit.
Yes, we like to think she has people rather than we have a ghost.
Right.
She's been living there longer than you have.
That's right.
That's right.
It's her house.
Sweet.
But she makes an appearance in Spite.
She does, yes.
Excellent.
As much as a disembodied person.
Right.
Sure.
Another podcasting first.
Dang, good.
So that's our big other project is we have a little baby girl on the way.
Yeah.
And
we're kind of splitting our time. Yeah. Splitting our time between getting ready for recording Spite and getting ready for Baby Girl.
Yep.
Do we have a name yet?
My name is Martha. I think we should.
Are we just going to call her Baby Girl?
Well, we're debating still. Rose has been tossed around, and Sky with an E has been tossed around, and we've thought of a couple of others and then said, oh no, that will never work in it. Once she gets to high school with the last name of Fisher, you can't have that combination. Uh-huh. So we're still debating. In the meantime, Princess Petunia is what is being used to address the child in the womb.
I'm kind of hung up on the whole Hobbit thing, you know, naming girls after flowers. That just seems like a good thing to me. And I like the name Rose.
It's a nice name.
We have good friends who have a daughter named Rose. And to me, Rose is that child. So we're still kind of debating back and forth. No, it's a friendly debate, guys. Chill. When it gets closer to October, then we'll be doing the arm wrestling and the, you know, laying out claymores and blowing people in. For now, it's civil.
Very good.
Well, the room looks lovely. I saw the photos on Paul's wildlife photos website, and it looks lovely. I'm tempted to paint my own room like that. Heck, I'm tempted to paint my whole house like that.
It was surprisingly easy to do, and so many people are afraid of color, and we're not. We like color.
We got lots of color in the house, and we keep putting more in. And different rooms get different color schemes, and they kind of sort of work together, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But we found a really great paint that has no volatile organic compounds, which is a good thing for baby, because painted walls can produce those volatile organic compounds for several years after they've been painted. So it's great that young lungs will not be inhaling those. And it was a really nice paint to work with. Benjamin Moore's Aura.
Cool. Yeah.
Baby paint.
Yeah. Well, it's good for other people too, but it's especially good for young ones.
This is great. This is Tea and Chat with advice for prospective parents.
Another podcasting first.
Oh, T. Mars is going to be so mad at me.
I'm kind of mad at him.
Why?
You know that whole Uber Nemesis thing?
Yeah.
You know, he went on after other podcast authors, but he left the podcast producers out in the cold. I mean,
oh, honey.
You know, who are we supposed to rage against?
Well, I'm still looking for somebody, so yeah, you're more than welcome.
Okay. You be our nemesis. We'll be yours.
That's right. We don't need no stinking T. Morris.
It's kind of like Friendster, Nemesis-ster.
That's good. Nemister.com right now.
There you go. You know, don't forget to use GoDaddy.com for all your hosting needs.
Another great segue.
Oh, good Lord. You see, now I don't even know where I'm moving on to at this point.
I can't believe that.
Just if you don't know what to talk about, how's the weather?
Yes, unfortunately, given that I'm surrounded by dark grey clouds and lots of water, if I ask you how the weather is, I'll just feel worse.
No, you won't.
Really? Why, Martha, what's the weather like?
Why, Steve, it's 100 degrees outside, 98% humidity.
The South is in the middle of a really multi-year drought. So the idea, you know, where crop fields are turning to dust and cars drive down the highway and spark fires on the side of the roads. And so the idea of rain and clouds is very appealing to us.
I like that. It's pretty.
Hello. Clock.
I got distracted by the pretty noises.
Oh, how very ADD.
House full of noise.
What an amazing house you have.
Yeah, it's got a ghost, it's got a cool clock, it's got a parrot. I mean, what more could you ask for?
We have a secret room.
There's a... Oh yeah, I read about that on the website. There's a secret room.
Yes, there is. But we've never been in it, so it's still a secret.
You've a secret room and you've never been in it?
No, we haven't. We lived in the house for several years before we found out it existed. It's a chamber that was built under the house and then another piece of house added onto it. And it used to have a trap door that came up in what is now our library. And so... We didn't want to tear up the floor to go down into the room. My father did get into the house and knock a hole in it and throw stuff down to see what, you know, what rattled or whatever. And he found out that it has water in it. It has a couple of feet of water at least. So we don't know. It's the secret room.
You have the coolest house ever.
They do, don't they?
They really do.
Wait, let me tell you about the attic.
Why not? Tell me about the attic.
No, I'm kidding.
I know you got my hopes up.
Well,
they had a tree fall. They had a tree fall on the house during Katrina.
Oh.
Yep. And then they had a skylight for a while after the tree was removed.
Yeah. Cast blue light.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yep. After Katrina, they put blue tarps on roofs. The government gave out blue tarps. So we had a literal hole from the all the way through to the kitchen. And so we had a blue cast to our kitchen for a while.
Weird.
This was after you finally fixed the roofing problem for that part of the house.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
But at least you knew how to. At least you knew how to fix the roof after that.
I guess the roof probably leaked for 100 years before somebody finally figured out how to fix it.
Wow, really?
And then a tree fell on it.
And then a tree fell on it.
And then a tree fell on it.
Of course.
Oh, man.
Did you replace that with a real skylight? Is that right?
No. No.
No, Ron's father still lives in his head, and all Ron's dad would say is, skylights always leak, skylights always leak. So we will never, I will never have a, in this lifetime, a skylight.
Ah.
A manufactured skylight.
I can hear my father saying the same thing right now.
Yeah, can't you?
Yeah.
Parents do live in our heads.
I was sitting in somebody's house one time at a dinner table with a big skylight over it, and Lynn said, "See, their skylight doesn't leak." And about that time, a big drop of water fell right into the middle of the table. The owner looked around and said, "It's never done that before."
It's you, Blackwell.
I think it is too, Martha.
Well, you know, he is a minor rain god. travel to the coast and it rains down in South Mississippi.
That's true, and New Orleans.
Yeah. Yep. You need to do more traveling down to the coast so you can break that drought.
Yeah.
I do my best. It did rain on me 3 times yesterday, coming from the drought-stricken Delta.
Good.
That's the real reason that they invite you.
Quite possibly.
So what haven't we talked about yet?
Not much.
You want to give us a synopsis of what Spite is? Or the story behind Spite?
How about you, Paul? What is the story behind Spite?
I haven't read it in a while, Ron.
Well, I, as a matter of fact, just finished.
For how much?
Great.
Yeah. How many times does this make now, Lynn?
I don't know. An endless number. It doesn't matter. Fortunately, I like it. So, Spite is a continuation of the Johnny C saga. And Johnny and his merry band of characters take off and go to Hawaii for a vacation come mystery work detective stuff. And while there, they encounter all sorts of interesting people, including some folks from home. But most importantly, a character or two from Johnny's past. And so some loose ends from the first book get very neatly tied up, and some new ends get raveled. And it's a very entertaining little romp.
And there's a huge battle scene.
Yes.
Lots of gunfire. I'm looking forward to scoring the special effects for that.
Paul's going to record his own.
Ooh.
No, it's easier to get it somewhere else.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that, okay, Stephen, you just have to recenter me if I get off target, but I'm interested in knowing what people think about the breaks, the introductions to the Servant Cole podcast.
Interludes.
Yeah, the interludes or the what came next episodes, or and what kinds of suggestions or brainstorming we could do about that for Spite.
You mean the story so far?
Yeah.
The party line phone conversations.
That's right. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
Did we lose Steven?
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be showing up. Steven!
Hello?
Oh, here we go.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Where did I go?
Hello? I don't know.
We were hoping you could tell us.
It might have been the mysterious room under their house.
That's why I'm all wet. I don't know what happened there. I was just saying how much I was enjoying. I actually enjoyed the story so far parts, the phone call bits. I thought they were a great device. It was marvelous. And I tend to listen to audio books. Some people complain about stories so far when they're listening more than once a week, if you know what I mean, like someone who will queue up 5 or 6 episodes and then do them all the way through. But I thought they worked really well, even having just heard the previous episode.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
I would like to point out that pretty much all of those were written by Martha.
Well, Ronnie got me started, and I wrote most of the rest of them. But yep. My favorite one was the story of Burnt Bridge, which I asked Ronnie to write, and I was expecting the ghost story of Burnt Bridge, and got the most hilarious story so far we have ever done. Thank you, Ronnie.
You're welcome. Lynn also did a lot of that interlude stuff. I was deep in and writing Spite at the time, and I just couldn't focus on what we were needing at the time.
Well, the Parsec Award nominations that we have are for long form for the book itself, and we also have short form for the story so far.
Oh, sweet. Well, they are marvelous. So I hope that goes well, because they were great.
We got our fingers crossed, and I just before this interview finished the Parsec sampler, so I have to get that off before the 11th hour, so that it actually meets the deadline. And we got our fingers crossed.
Yep. I liked them as well. I thought they were... I normally skip past people's stories so far as if all they are is, you know, just bits and pieces out of the previous story, T-Mars. you know, I like it so much better when people, you know, either have somebody read something that was written just for that occasion... Or, you know, do the kind of thing that we did.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think it was Lynn's idea to use the front porch to take off from that front porch and that community of Crosstown. And so that was really, I was doing a lot of thinking and writing about that community at the time. So you guys really filled it out for me.
Well, we're glad to lend a hand with that effort. I really enjoyed looking at the story from an outsider's point of view and having a character that didn't exist inside the story but had some impact. What was happening in the story had impact, have that character talk about what was going on. That was very interesting to me.
Yeah, I think it was kind of, you went above and beyond the usual, this is what happened in the last episode. So you actually gave us what was essentially new and extra content.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is the plan to do something similar with Spite?
Yeah, we're going to do something hopefully as entertaining. It's a little bit harder for me to wrap my head around doing phone conversations since the distances are so far and the people who would be talking in the two different locations, Hawaii versus Mississippi, are so different. But we're going to come up with something. And if anybody has any ideas, we're happy to hear them.
Cool. Well, if any of my listeners have ideas, I'll get them to drop you a line.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Excellent.
I I'm going to have the next question directed to Ron again. I ask the writers I've been fortunate enough to talk to. I've talked to some great people, and I've asked a lot of them about advice, you know, for beginner writers. But one thing we've occasionally talked about is how difficult it is writing mysteries. I have a couple of people who I've been talking to are very fantastic, talented writers who don't think they could write mysteries well. It's a type of writing that they just can't do. So I thought, I was lucky enough to have you on. I could ask you if there's any sort of advice you would give to other writers who are going to try their hand at mystery style.
A lot of mystery writers use different techniques. I just try to write the best I can and sort of point it toward solving a mystery. I think almost every book in modern fiction either has to deal with how not to be plotted or where to steer your plot. And it just seems very easy to me to go toward solving a real mystery. People who don't write mysteries, they're solving problems that they set up in their books just as if it were a mystery. If it were, you know, if it wasn't, if it, they're talking about how to come to grips with something in their past. Well, that's the exact same kind of exercise, same muscles you need to determine who killed the guy lying on the ground. So I don't really see a big disconnect between the genres. We're all doing the same thing, unless you're really purposefully not writing a plot, which unfortunately a lot of people are taught to do these days.
I think that's a really good point, that a mystery is just an unknown. It's working what you know and what you can find out toward creation of new knowledge. And as a scholar, I mean, Ron was trained as a scholar and a researcher. And so that comes very naturally to him, the idea that there's stuff out there he doesn't know and that he has to work and gather information and gather knowledge to find out that unknown, to answer those questions. And so, you know, then you throw in a murder or two and some drugs and drug, sex, rock and roll, and there you have it.
But I don't, well, at least so far, with Cervical and Spite, I didn't know what the answers to those mysteries were when I started writing. I had some idea, but I discovered those as I wrote the book.
Rather than knowing the answers and then working backwards.
Right, right.
Well, it's not a mystery then, is it?
Well, it's not a mystery to the author.
Yeah.
Well, but that's what I mean. I mean, to me, that's what's engaging about this particular work is I feel the questions and as I'm reading, I mean, watching him write it, it was clear to me that he didn't know what was going on. And I would sometimes, because I do an initial proof as he's writing and spits out chapters, I proof those chapters immediately. And I would ask questions like, how are you going to tie this into such and such? And how does this relate? And he can't always answer those questions at that moment. But it's clear it's all part of the package that he's exploring. So it's always interesting to me to see how they end.
Me too.
Yeah. I was just about to say.
Me three.
Serve it cold, a mystery so deep, even the guy who's writing it doesn't know who did it.
Oh, that may be a really nice thing then.
Mind if we use that?
Oh, go right ahead.
Thank you, Steve.
But mysteries aren't the only genre that Ron writes. I mean, he also writes poetry, and short stories. He's written a really, what I think is a really neat fantasy, it's the beginning of a novel that he hasn't finished that I really want him to finish. So he dabbles in a lot of genres.
We haven't heard of fantasy novel.
It's really excellent.
Which one is this?
The one you don't want to acknowledge because you don't want to go back to it.
That's the thing. Now that you've said it out on air, the emails are going to be flying in from listeners.
Thank you. I just want him to finish writing it because I want to know what happens next to those people.
Looks like you're going to have to finish it.
I'd like to actually be able to produce some sci-fi or fantasy. So
yeah.
So we'll be eligible for more Parsec Awards.
Well,
you know, we'll produce anything you you write.
Better watch out. be cautious there.
Well, the short story collection would be cool.
Yeah.
I hope so. The short stories that I'm working on now deal with the Johnny C. characters, and I actually write these stories to explore the characters, to figure out exactly who these characters are. So I would like to publish the short stories as a book after I collect enough of them. I think I've got about six, maybe. I really like it. I really like doing the short stories, and those are total explorations. I just start with the character I know I'm exploring, and sit down and start writing. And it's a lot of fun. I don't know if it's good, but it's fun.
I'm sure it's good.
So am I. And actually, I was really hoping that you would have some short stories or something, because that would be a great way to help build up some momentum before we actually dive into Spite.
We could do stuff. I mean, I got a few short stories, so we could do something pre-Spite. Well,
we'll have our people talk to your people.
Do that. You could always dramatize an article about wood storks.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome.
So where can my lovely listeners, who have now, they've practically doubled in the last couple of weeks. I think I now have 50 people who listen to my show.
Great.
Wow.
For me, that's amazing because I remember when there was only one and it was me.
I know that audience. Yeah.
Where can my lovely, loyal, marvelous listeners get their hands on your works, Ron?
Lulu.com is where you can find Spite and Serve It Cold. Two books of poetry are also there. Then Amazon has Serve It Cold. Amazon also has the Kindle versions of Serve It Cold and the Kindle version of Spite. And of course, patiobooks.com has the dramatization by Dancing Cat Studios of Serve It Cold. And also, I write my columns, my burning columns, are available through my website, writingblackwell.com.
Cool, fantastic. And of course, aside from the patiobooks.com Serve It Cold, yeah, you guys over at Dancing Cat Studios have done work in a whole pile of other podcasts, haven't you? You've been on Escape Pod, you've been all over the place.
Yep, we've read for Escape Pod, for Pseudopod, We've been on, is it Three Edge Sword?
Yep.
Been in Chris Lester's Making the Cut, which is part of the Metamore City universe. We've been on Christiana Ellis's Hey, Wanna Watch a Movie? I've been on Bar Nuts. We've just been all over the place.
Absolutely.
I did a story so far recently for Pip Ballantyne. So you
and
can
our
find
home bases. Yeah, our home bases are addcast.net and balticonpodcast.org, as well as the dancingcatstudios.com site.
Fantastic. So people can get links to all the Escape Pod episodes and stuff like that there as well, yeah?
Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Cool. Well, we've reached my favorite part of the show, where we wrap up by plugging anything I've missed.
Ronnie, you want to start?
I can't. I think we've covered everything I'm doing.
Cool.
Look for a birding column coming your way in your newspaper. I hope to syndicate a backyard birding column this fall.
And Crow Baby is coming before Christmas.
Yeah, well,
very
I've got
good.
An October 1 deadline on that. We'll see how we do.
Yeah, Crow Baby is the illustrated book that will be ready by Christmas for sure.
Yeah, I'm continuing to write my own blog called The Writer's Wife, which is sometimes about Ron and sometimes not, but it's lynnharper.wordpress.com.
And I often get, in fact, yesterday I met people who knew me through my website, and the first thing they said was, Lynn's blog is so good. So she's got her own follower.
Yes, Lynn does actually have tips on how to herd the ADD author.
Yeah. It's how I spend my life.
And
yes, you guys then instead?
I've got my nature photos up on pfischer.com, and Fisher has a C in it. So pfischer.com. And I've got a lot of bird photos out there, and they're out in the Creative Commons.
Sweet. Cool. Well, I think that's pretty much wrapped it up for me. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to manage to juggle, you know, five people, a ghost, and a parrot all the way through the interview.
You did it, buddy.
You did really well. It only got out of hand a couple of times.
You've been tempered by fire.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you all on the show. I'm really looking forward to Spite. I'm going to go back and I'm going to listen to Serve It Cold again, just to make sure I'm not, you know, not behind on anything.
Great.
Yay.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. We appreciate
yes.
being here.
Oh, it's been great to have you on, and good luck with all the parsecs.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Well, that's it then for me. So thank you very much for coming on the show, Paul Fisher, Martha Holloway, Ron Blackwell, and his lovely and ever-struggling wife, Lynn Harper, and the ghost, and Keto, and the secret room.
All right. The attic awaits you.
Steve. The attic awaits me. Well, when I come over to go to Balticon, I can pop on down and visit you as well.
There you go.
Well, you will be on the same continent.
It's a start. It's a start.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show, guys. It's been a pleasure. And I shall have links to everything in the show notes for anyone who wants to check it out. And good luck at the parsecs, and I shall talk to you again soon in the emails.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having
us.
Thank
you, Stephen.
Thanks, Martha and Paul.
Yay! Yay!
Thank you.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Mary Ellen.
thanks for having us, Steve. That was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you all have a good evening. And I'm sure I'll see you in the emails. It's been a pleasure talking to you all.
Thank you.
Thank
Steve.
You. Thank you a lot.
Pleasure to meet you.
All righty. So long. Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
What a lovely bunch. That was great. That was Ron Blackwell, Lynn Harper, Martha Holloway and Paul Fisher and Keto and the ghost. Oh, the parrot laughing back at me. I swear I almost stopped breathing. That was very funny. So now it's time to move on to talk about Batman. What an excellent film. Now, I know it was overhyped. There was a huge amount of hype over Batman. I don't know how many of you have seen that YouTube video, the I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC, and the hype over Batman. It's very funny, definitely worth watching. There's even a moment in it where people come back from the future. They invent a time machine because Batman is still sold out in the future. So they invent a time machine to come back and watch it. First things first. It's an excellent film. It works on a whole pile of different levels. There's an awful lot of Greek tragedy in here. Christian Bale is excellent, as always, as Batman. There are a couple of flaws, well, at least for me, there were a couple of small things with this film. Let's get those out of the way before we get to the good stuff. The Batman voice, Christian Bale's deep, growly Batman voice. Most of the time it works really well. But there were a couple of times in this film, and I don't know if maybe it's just me, but there were a couple of occasions in this film where he was talking in the Batman voice. And I don't know if the sentence was just a little more complicated than normal, but he actually became kind of hard to understand a couple of times. And that was a bit annoying. The only other problem I had with this film was Maggie Gyllenhaal's character, Rachel Dawes. Oh, what were they doing? I know she's not supposed to really be much of a character. She's merely a functional character where she serves as a device to allow Batman and Two-Face to sort of slightly fight over her. You know, she's handy for plot advancement at certain moments. But I really wish they'd given her a little more fleshing out and given her a little bit more of a character. Now, obviously, Gyllenhaal did a great job. It's tough enough to pick up a character in a sequel and try and build upon the initial character. You know, a new actor coming in and trying to have all of the memories and experiences of the character from the last film and build on top of that. And she did a very good job. She's particularly good in one of the last scenes in the film. She does a really nice job. But they really didn't give her much to work with, I don't think. And I know, you know, she still functions quite well as a sort of two-dimensional character, but it would have been nice to see them give her just a little bit more to play with. I don't think it would have gotten in the way of the sort of the dynamics of the relationships between herself and Harvey Dent and Bruce Wayne. But those two small niggles aside, this is an absolutely awesome film. Heath Ledger's performance is astonishing. For many years, I've been a huge fan of Ledger, and I've often said that, you know, we're going to see great things from him. You know, yes, he's done a few sort of, you know, lighter comedy type films. He was very, very good in A Knight's Tale. I thought he was excellent in that. But he's kind of moved through the sort of teen heartthrob stage. He's advancing into the slightly better, you know, grittier acting roles, getting to pick some of his jobs a little more. And I think it's a crying shame that he's no longer with us, because I know when he passed away, I was quite upset, to be honest, when he passed away, because he is a tragic loss. This is a huge loss for the entertainment industry as a whole. And I think if this is the role he's remembered for as his last role, then this is a good way to go out, I think. Because it's astonishing. It really is. It's an exceptional performance from an exceptional actor. It's a kind of a Sid Vicious punk rock Joker. And it's beautiful to watch. Some of the scenes are the most unnerving, scary, and at the same time, darkly funny scenes I've ever seen. And I think it's exceptional. For those of you who haven't seen Batman, it really is worth going to see. I know some of the cinemas have been packed out, particularly over here, and it's been quite difficult to even get in to have a look. But it really is worth going to see on the big screen. I think from an action film point of view, it works very well, but it also works as a sort of a deeper and darker story-driven film as well. So I think there's an awful lot to go there. There's an awful lot to enjoy. And I think this film will stand up to several viewings as you kind of take in more and more of it. I'm particularly fond of the conversation between the Joker and Batman close to the end of the film. For those of you who've seen the film, you'll know the one I'm talking about. I should hope. But for those of you who haven't seen the film, you know, I think you'll really, really enjoy some of the places this film goes. So I highly recommend it. I give it 9 teapots out of 10. And I can occasionally be quite fussy about films, but this is really worth going to see. So yeah, the hype's a bit crazy, but the film is exceptional. The film is absolutely awesome and totally worth going to see. So that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and I'm glad that so many of you have been dropping me an email to say hello and to say that you're enjoying the show. So I intend to keep up the good work, and I'll try not to be sick too often. Next week, I hope to have another interesting interview for you, and I'm also going to try one of the teas that Felina sent in. I can't quite decide yet. I may have to try more than one. So I look forward to that. Do pop by the forums to watch the Target Women videos. They really are very funny, so I think it's definitely worth a few minutes of your time to pop by and check those out. And also, if you want to go on and maybe review the show on iTunes, I would be very, very grateful. If someone wanted to just go in and drop a quick review in onto the iTunes thing, that'd be fantastic. So I shall talk to you all next week. In the meantime, look after yourselves. Bye-bye. Music for this podcast provided by Amplifico. Available on the Podsafe Music Network. Visit music.podshow.com.